eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
And if he needs to flex and he needs to throw down, he's going to do it. I don't like it. It sucks. No one can say where he's going.
Well, I'm
going
to say.
What up, everybody? Welcome to Title 24, presented by NBC Sports, RCRV, coming at you. We got a great show for you today. Before we get going, of course, like always, got to thank our partners, United Motorsports, Quadlock Case, and Boxo USA. We appreciate you guys and great companies. Thanks for jumping on us for this awesome ride. But RV, we're going to step right into it. You were there this weekend. I was there. A little Southwick recap. And we got a different format for you guys. We're going to implement some of the fan questions in to our analysis. But I think the biggest thing for the 250 class, we'll just jump right in it. Dude, another DNF by Hunter.
Yeah, you know, huge bummer. We all know going to Southwick is, look at the bike just pulling off the track here, laying it on its side, smoking. This was literally, guys, this was like two to go. You can see him there with the frustration. Southwick is always one that you go to. And if you don't have all your ducks in a row, and that means from the rider standpoint, from the team standpoint, not to say they didn't, but I believe years ago, when I was racing, Andrew Short had a DNF also from, you know, he was on a factory Honda also. This track is so treacherous on bikes, clutches.
Totally.
I mean, if you don't manage these 250Fs, if you don't manage and kind of try to stay out of the deep stuff, not that Hunter was trying to get into that stuff, but it's so hard on the motorcycle. And as you see, with two laps to go, it let go on him. And it's such a bummer because had a decent race going for him. I was actually over, got to speak with Hunter and Jet the morning of Saturday, and still dealing with a little bit of soreness in the ribs there from his first turn crash, you know, at Redbud. Yep. So yeah, just a huge upset.
Okay. So, how we're going to implement some fan questions. This first question comes, and it basically kind of tails off of what you're saying. It comes from Riley Stevens, 56. He says, how does Hunter's mindset change now to suit the situation he's in? That's a great question, by the way. What do you think, RV? So like, what do you do? What do you do to Riley's question?
You know, I think so, being that we're dealing with a very smart individual, not that Hayden's not, but like a very seasoned Hunter Lawrence. And then we have a rookie, Hayden Deegan. I think Hunter has to just get back up on the horse and know that, hey, that was a bike issue. It wasn't his fault. We got to just keep doing what we're doing. We got to put ourselves in good starting positions, because if Hunter starts up in the top five, he's out of trouble. He is going to make his way up to podium position, if not more than likely win the race. Now, the flip side to that is Hayden right now, right? Sitting in the position he's in with 6-point lead. I would say he has a majority of the pressure on his shoulders, in my opinion, because now it's, can Hayden take this down to the last round of Supercross? We have Hayden with 218, Hunter Lawrence down 5, RJ Hampshire down 13.
It's tight right there. There's a lot of guys back up in the mix.
It is up to Justin Cooper with down 22. So we have the top five here within championship striking distance. And so, yeah, I think that Hayden, if Hayden can keep this thing coming down to get it down to the last round. What I mean by to the last round is not with a shot to win, with like, hey, we're 24 points down. Gotta keep it inside of 8 to 10, you know, right? Because now that keeps the pressure on Hunter. We've already seen a bike issue, right? So that's total bummer. Can happen to any one of these guys. And then that being said, also, if first turn, whatever the case may be, if it's within 8, within 10, now you have a real shot. 24 to me is pretty much out of the game.
Yeah, I mean, dude, yeah, it's like basically like a roll of dice, and you're exactly right. I mean, dude, if he keeps himself in the game, to your point exactly, and he's only that 5 to 8 points where you can get a few guys in between. And I think those other guys like Shimoda, Justin Cooper, and keep your eye on Justin Cooper, dude. He's pretty consistent. I think if those guys start getting in there between Hayden or Hunter, that's to your point, there's that 5 to 8 points that could make you a champion or bump you out of championship position.
Exactly. So very, very critical times. And obviously Hunter's just got to rebound, really. I mean, we know he's fit. We know he's fast. Especially once the days and the weekends kind of click by with the soreness in the ribs after Red Bud. Not to mention, we do have 2 weekends off coming up here relatively soon. So yep, that's going to be a big factor too with everybody. And that plays into everybody's factor, but we already know that Hunter's dealing with something from Red Bud. So he'll be able to reset, regroup along with everybody else. And then they come back out for the last stint.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And what I think Hunter should do also, and I would think that you would agree, is now that he's lost those points, now he really has to execute. And you talk about putting yourself in the right positions all the time, being in the right spot and avoiding any type of chaos. Is, you know, that there's some things you can't control, but there's a lot more emphasis on that because we're getting towards the end of the season and you just don't have time to make up from those, whatever might happen, you know, those DNFs or mechanicals or being in the wrong place at the wrong time. So, I mean, it's going to get interesting. And then another thing too, you got these guys like Justin Cooper. I talked to a couple of these guys after the race, RV, and they're thinking like, dude, we're back in this thing. Like before coming into the last 2 rounds, we're like, I'm pretty much out of it. But now they think that they have a fighting shot. So those guys are probably going to ride a little bit harder, going to ride a little bit more aggressive, I'm guessing. They're probably going to put up a little bit more of a fight against a guy like Hunter. I still feel like Hunter is in the driver's seat. And the reason that I say that is because he was a little faster than Hayden all weekend, both motos, and he lost that. And I still think from a speed perspective, consistently, Hayden needs to make that next jump. I agree.
Actually, if you go and look at, I know Hayden had overall wasn't a really bad weekend, but honestly, no. it wasn't a great weekend. I know running around, I think around for quite a while there was in 8th, 9th, 10th, you know, like Southwick's mm-hmm. a very tough track. You know, I know he hasn't, I don't think he has raced this. There he goes going down here, was able to get back up really quick. But I know he's raced it as an amateur, but now when you come here for the big show, for pro motocross, and not to mention, guys, it was very, very hot that first moto. I think it was probably the hottest one they've seen this year. All this playing against, call it the rookie and the rookies that are out there, never seen Southwick before at a real pro motocross. It's a whole different ball game. And then you add the heat to that. So honestly, he didn't ride as well as he has in the past, but he's mm-hmm. still there. He's clicking mm-hmm. his laps off. He's inside the top 10. And now you see the gift that was given from with Hunter's bike, you know.
Yeah.
Pulling out, you know, was
but like Supercross, you gotta be there. Dude, kudos to him. He was there, yep. He was able to take advantage of it. We saw it in Supercross and the Premier class. Dude, like, throw shade if you want to the kid, but he was in the position to take advantage of someone else's misfortune.
He is, yep. So back to that. Yeah, I think Southwick was a very tough one for a lot of these guys, as you could see. But no, he came out with a 6-point lead in the red plate. So, you know, let's see if he can keep the pressure on till down the last straight.
Dude, it was really cool. And I think overall, and it's easy for me to say this now because the weekend's over, but Vial looked really, really good this weekend. Just
yes,
he didn't. He looked in control. I think. Yeah, I mean, you were on the track a little bit harder to watch, but dude, he just never looked like he was on the rivet ever, and like he was pushing it too hard. Obviously, he was trying for sure, but dude, he just looked cool, calm, and collected, right? Like,
no, I listened to press conference, and you know, coming from Europe, you know, I know they've rode places like Europe and Lommel, which I have a bit of experience with that, and Southwick is something definitely different than somewhere like Lommel or, you know, Sardinia, places like that they have in Europe. He got such a start the second moto right here. If you get, for the people that are watching, he had a bike length in front of everybody. But no, he looked calm, cool, collected. And he honestly at press conference, he said, he goes, I thought it was rough, but it wasn't terrible. They call them waves over there. And he goes, they weren't really big, deep waves. Southwick typically is a little harder pack, a little sharp, very sharp bumps and choppy. Yeah, to your point, Ricky. Yeah. And so, yeah, rode a hell of a race, got his first overall win. And I could see a difference in his riding from first moto to second moto after getting that win, his first win. Like, he came out swinging in moto two. So I think we're going to see a different Tom Vial the rest of the season.
Ah, that's good. Well, there you go. Because Alex McLean wrote in, he's like, since Tom won his first race, do you believe there's more to come? And boom, there you go. You just
answered. I do.
Alex, our man RV is on the mission. He answered your question. Appreciate you asking the question. And that's awesome. I agree with you. I think him being a past champion in MXGP and MX2 class, that he is one of those dudes that, okay, I know the pace and I know where I need to be. You get that winning feeling back. And I expect to see him up there a lot more as well. So,
I think that's, like, to your point, like, he is he's a two-time MXGP champion already in the lights class. Right. So we're not dealing with a rookie in the US, but we're not dealing with a European, but also a rookie, both of those being rookies, first time pro, or first time coming to the big show, and then also a rookie in the U.S. We're only dealing with one of those now. It's his first season in the on the U.S. soil racing, but he's a veteran when it comes to knowing what it is for going in for the long haul, traveling the world. He's a two-time, you know, MX2 champ. So I think he's got a lot going for him, and I do think we're gonna see some better things out of him before this season's over.
Oh, certainly. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think people say Washougal is super crossy. It's jumpier, but do you feel like Washougal would be a good track for Tom or not really?
So I haven't seen Tom with hard pack, but I think Washougal is more of a slippery, is more of a technical track. Guys like Marv have done well there in the past. Guys like myself or you that kind of like hammer down, I think that place is one of the harder places for us to ride. So I do think that with his European background and the different tracks that they've rode, I only imagine, now that I'm guessing, that he is going to be good on hard pack in that slipperier condition. So I think he'll be a threat, could be a threat there at Washougal.
I don't know I don't know if people realize just how close it was to Justin Cooper winning that overall. I mean, dude, it was like a lap and a half away. He caught up to Joe, right? And then he was behind Joe. And then I think Joe pushed that left-hander out just a tad. And then as he was coming through, just the front end gave away or the berm got blowed out. But, dude, I think he was going to pass him. I really think he was within that next lap and a half. I think he had it.
Justin was on – he got great starts, both motos, and yep. Man, his initial speed. I mean, I'll talk about first moto, his initial speed. Like, Tom was able to hold him on, be honest with him for quite a while. But Justin just kept inching away. And pretty soon he had a nice 5-6 second gap on him and ended up just laying it over. But yeah, nonetheless, I think another one, Justin Cooper is going to be able to, I think we're going to see some good things to come from him, you know, that going to throw a wrench in the program. Like you said, these guys they got their second wind because no longer is second place 25 points down. Now, you know, the whole thing has been flipped upside down.
100%. It's going to be good. And the one thing, keep this in mind, dude, you talk about an average in starts. Justin Cooper is a really, really, really good starter. And now that he knows that he's back in the game, I think that's going to help him. And also, I had an opportunity to talk to him after the race. And I mean, he's still pretty bummed about what went down of when he basically lost his best shot at the championship at Washougal. Was it last year, I believe, or the year before? Remember when he hurt his hand or his thumb or something like that?
Yeah.
And Jet ended up beating him. Maybe it was 20, maybe it was 21. I can't remember. But he's still pretty bitter about that. Not bitter, but he wants another crack at it. So he's got his opportunity. Before we move on to the 450, so I had an opportunity, RV, to talk to some of the engine guys, and I talked about this on the broadcast, and I never knew this. It's pretty interesting. So I was kind of blown away at how Hunter smoked his engine, because he's so efficient, right?
He rides the bike,
doesn't over rev it. But some of the engine guys were telling me that when you ride in the meat of the power and the low RPM and you're using full torque, you're basically maximizing the traction, that it actually cooks the engine more than someone over revving the bike and riding it at a high RPM. And it kind of blew my mind. You know, I was like, how did he torch his engine when he doesn't ride at a high RPM? And so I got to thinking about it when these guys told me, I'm like, wow, it does kind of make sense. The engine has more load. You got more traction. The tire's not spinning as much. There's more load on the engine, so it would heat up more rather than over revving. That was interesting. Did you know that?
No, I guess I've never been explained to it like that. But yeah, I could see how riding it in the meat of the power and always having maximizing the horsepower to the ground ratio, I guess, instead of, like you said, on the rev limiter a lot, you know, potentially. I doubt Hunter did, but maybe he was abusing the clutch a little bit more, you know, things like that. That drives the temperature through the roof. I really doubt it because he's very precise. You know, I'm not taking a crack at Honda here, but Honda's tends to build their motorcycles maybe a little on the lighter side. I mean, you rode there, you know, like it seems like in the past, like Southwest knocked a lot of guys down, but to my memory, I know Shorty had an issue there. Now you see an issue with Hunter. And now, by the way, this was over 10 years ago with Shorty. So this is what's just coming up into my mind, people. So,
right.
So fans, right. So, you know, it's not like they ran it through last year. Everything was good, you know, things like that. But, maybe it's just a case of a lighter, better part, but at that temperature, you know, had an issue. I don't know. Yeah. You know, I'm just, look, we have a podcast here. We have to speculate. We got to keep these fans going for more. And, that's what I'm here to do. So,
yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. And dude, remember he had a problem at Mount Morris in practice, pushing his bike off. Remember when it was real thick and muddy, and I don't know if it was a free practice or what it was, but so you think about it, he got lucky. He dodged one there.
I mean, it's that's what keeps the lights, especially the lights class, so interesting. You know, you don't see these things happening in the 450 class. It's very, very rarely do you see an issue like this in the 450 class. And now we're looking back. It happens in the 250 class a lot more. And it happened to happen to the points leader. Now a huge upset. Danger Boy was six point lead now with the red plate. So, man, from a fan's perspective, like, you really couldn't.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World? Like, hey, we came to play. Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
eBay Motors is here for the ride with some elbow grease and a whole lot of love. You transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Ask for any more. I mean,
no.
You got a rookie leading the championship. I don't think has happened in quite a few years. Maybe back in 2012, I think it was Kenny was a rookie that was leading the championship. So, I mean, it's no better time to start watching pro motocross and supercross right now.
Yeah, it's gonna be exciting. Switching gears, 450. Of course, Jet does it again, and I think that. After listening to the broadcast, here we go. This is the start of the second. Was it the second? No, that's the first moto of the 450 when actually Chase got the whole shot, and then Jet makes a quick pass by and just kind of rolls out there. But so this guy writes in, or this person writes in, and he asks a question. Corza 771. And he says, RV, do you think Jet was playing with Chase? You and I had a conversation off air actually yesterday, and you had some pretty good insight. Do you think he was, I wouldn't call him playing with him. Like, what do you think he was doing? Do you think he was riding hard? Answer our man Corza 771's question.
Yeah, no, thanks for the question, Corza 771. No, I do think that, with the temperature that we had this weekend, like I had, I could see and talk to some people close to his group, and he's like, yeah, that second moto was a tough one, you know, like towards the end of it or at the end of it, you know, standing on the podium is like, dude, I'm smoked, you know? Yeah. And that's par for the course, first time at Southwick on a 450, racing Chase, Frant, and Dylan and those top guys. But honestly, I do think if Jet really had to, here's the thing. That question is very hard to answer because he's got a big points gap. Now you put this into a situation where he's only got say 10 on Chase. Does he hang it out? I do think he's got more in the tank. I think he was probably riding around at, 90 to 95% certain times, like I think certain sections and certain laps of the race, like we watched him come out to start there, get behind Chase, and then immediately, rocket right up in front of Chase before that top sweeper. Just to reinsure the fact that he was going to have the lead on that first lap, like he sent it in there and you could see, how fast he came in there compared to normal. So I do think that he was riding around at 90, 95% at times, right here, just rockets right in front of him. Chase was up on the outside, but Jet saw a hole and just, sent it in there fully in control. So my point is I do think that he has, I guarantee you, I bet he could ride 3, 4, 5 laps at that pace we just saw there to make the move on Chase.
Yeah, I think we're like playing with him. Mm. I think that comes. I missed the call on that. I used the wrong word of like playing with him. And I talked about this in Supercross. I really truly believe this, RV. Like Jet is a guy, if he can ride 80% and he can keep these guys at bay 2 to 3 seconds. Dude, that's all he's going to do. And if he needs to flex and he needs to throw down, he's going to do it. So I shouldn't have said playing. That was the wrong word. And that's probably where like Corza was asking like playing. So I would call it, and maybe you would too, just managing his gap and just doing what he needs to do to keep that there. And that's where it was interesting because Stu and I was going back and forth and I'm like, this is going to be interesting to see. When the 23 was catching him, it just seems like all of a sudden he just starts pulling away. And James is like, well, Chase had a bad lap and then Jet got it right that time. So it was like a perfect combination. But then Jet kept going and kept going.
That works for one lap, a bad lap and a good lap on opposite laps, right? That works for one lap, but if you keep going, you keep putting a couple tenths on him, half a second a lap or whatever the case may be. And you run and you string 3, 4, 5 laps together.
He did that.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that to me is, you know, he, to your point, I only think they exert the energy and the, and what they need to at those certain times. And it may be the, something, the smallest thing where you see something on Vital MX or somewhere where somebody's talking a little smack on him. And he's like, I'm going to beat this dude down. And, you know, that's something that just, you know, these athletes, you know, they get something to light a little fire underneath of them. And just like that, he could go out and lay it down. Right. And like, yeah. I'm going to show this guy what's up, you know?
Yeah. So, and I'm with you. So yeah, like I said, he wasn't playing with him, but I do think he just manages it. And this is what, so I got my own question for you, RV, and I ain't going to win no quad lock case. This isn't good enough. So I this is what I wrote. I said, do you think these guys today care about the margin of victory compared to, say, our generation? I think it's fair to say you would win by a larger gap. I would win by a larger gap. Stu would win by a larger gap. Like our generation, I felt like, you know, like, I don't know. I wouldn't say that I wanted to win by 30 seconds, but I wanted to win by as far as I could. Do you feel like this generation is, they don't care as much about that?
You know, I think, no. Let's bring Hunter and Jed. I think that they manage the race, better than say I would have, or maybe you would have. I think yeah, for sure. Me, I would send it, sprint for 20 minutes and then I would manage my last 10. Not to say these guys aren't doing that. But like for me, for example, I had Dunge that I'd pull a whole shot. I'd sprint, I'd get away from him, but I knew that I couldn't falter more than like half a second a lap, because even over 30 plus two, so 38 minutes or 35 minutes, like Dunge was the diesel. It just kept pushing, was never the fastest guy. So, so to answer the question, I don't know if they're looking at that. I don't know if there is a difference between the mentality and the thought process of this generation than us. I would go till essentially the checkered flag was out there, make a statement. And it wasn't even that making a statement. I just figured that I grew up riding at 95%, because that was where I knew that I wouldn't make a mistake. If I backed it down to 80%, I felt like I was always told and taught that riding around at 80% is you're asking for more mistakes at 80 than 90, 95, because you're more used to riding, at least the way I had to train to be as good as I was. I had to train at 90, 95%. And that was my sweet spot. So I didn't train at 80. So to me, riding down at 80% is I think for me, I was waiting, asking for something to happen, a little tip over, a mistake, something that just a brain fart. But if you keep sharp and you stay at 90, 95%, I feel like you're not going to have those brain farts or those little typical, you know, tip overs and things like that could happen.
I learned this. I've learned it a lot more in the last couple of years, but I kind of took notice and it perked me up when Kenny rode for Kerry and I at RCH, and there were a couple times in Supercross when, you know, he'd have like a 5 second gap on Dunge at some races. And I would get worried because I'm like, dude, you better go. This dude's going to catch you. And you know how strong Dunge is at the end of the races. So, and he would come back. He's like, why, dude? Why did I need to win by any more? I was just maintaining that gap. And I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I wasn't going to let him catch me. I don't need to win by any more than what I was going to win by. So I'm like, wow, that's crazy. And then now I'm starting to see, you know, like the other guys are starting to do this. And like mm-hmm. Jet, like when you know, he could have threw down harder. He could have won by a wider margin. That's why I'm starting to take notice. And like, I think it's a real thing. I really do. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I see. I look at like, oh, I keep Dunge at 5 seconds. If you're Kenny, keep him at bay at 5 seconds. One little mistake though, that costs you half a second. Now you're at 4.5, and like also then that starts to creep in your head. Like, oh, okay, now he's a little closer, and you look, cause you can track him on the track, you know, like, and you're like, oh, a little closer, a little closer. Like now, but if I have a 10 second gap and you're tracking him, you're like, okay, to me, that's a real gap. That's a breathing room. That's a gap. At 5 seconds, I'm like, okay, I just have enough here, just enough. I need to keep pushing to get it to 10, to where now that 10 was comfortable for me.
Yeah.
Five wasn't comfortable. Five is annoying. It's like that fly that flies around and you're just trying to swat at him. To me, that was 5 seconds.
Yeah. And you can't slip because, dude, if a lapper gets in your way or you make a mistake, get a little sideways on the track.
Five goes to 3 in no time. And now you've got the guy and now you've given him a lifeline.
Yep.
And I don't like that.
No, not even. I think my biggest deal too is very similar. Is just you go, try to build that gap as big as you can. Then towards the end, you know, then you maintain. But one thing that I never wanted to do, especially against a guy like Stu or even Reedy for that matter, is like at the end, if I could see that they were pushing, you know, like kind of gauging, I never wanted them to like put time on me the last 2 or 3 laps. So I would try to at least maintain that and wick it up, because I didn't want them to think at the end of the race like, oh dude, I was catching them, I was reeling them in.
I played the game. I didn't look at it that way, because I always knew that I always would come out thinking that if I can go for the first 20 and just destroy guys like Dunge, or that didn't happen very often with Stu, but you know, if I could get a gap, I knew that was my strong point, was from the gate drop to 20 minutes, you know, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, and I would build myself that gap there. And yeah, if it was 15 seconds and they caught me by 3, you know, I looked at like they knew they got beat. They knew that I was bringing it down the last 2 laps, and that's par for the course. You're going to get caught a little bit, you know. So that was my mentality.
I thought Chase did good this weekend. Dude, I thought, he's a great rider. He's a strong rider. Clearly, he wants to get up there and contend for wins and knock Jed off the totem pole. I mean, I surely would. I know you would. We're watching, this is second moto, an epic pass, full commitment by Dylan Ferrandis, and one of the fastest straightaways on the track, outside of that back straight that's super rough. But I mean, you know, people ask us, I'm sure they ask you, like, what does he need to do? And it's just, dude, it's hard. And you nailed it. You nailed it on the spot last week on Title 24. It's like, if he's going to beat anybody, if they're going to beat this guy, they've got to get a good start. They can't let the Jet get up there, and Jet has to be back. And he has to execute a perfect race. And I mean, it's like, I don't know. If I was coaching Chase, I just would think you just got to keep sticking with it, right?
Yeah.
And then when you're behind him, try to figure out what he's doing better, and just try to keep pushing and pushing. That's really all that you can do, right? Put yourself in good spots and try to latch on and learn.
Exactly. Yeah. It is a hard thing to do. What can you do better? What can you do different? Right. Like we have here, Jet coming up to the old finish line here, and Chase not far behind him, you know, right there. But you know, you look, just for instance, off that single, Jet jumped another like 5 feet longer, you know, going to the next bump, things like that, you know. And is that is he more comfortable on the track, or is he more comfortable with the bike? You know, just trying to be efficient on the motorcycle, you know. And I think watching Jet and versus watching Chase, Jet just looked like he was a little more comfortable, or his bike was a little more planted. And I don't know if that's just body positioning, or, you know, it's very similar equipment. I'm not saying they're on the same settings, because I know they're not on the same settings, but they're very similar equipment. Just the way Jet's riding, he's jumping the bumps, jumping into holes that aren't as deep as the one that he's jumping over. Very calculated decisions on where he's setting the front tire down.
He's lighter on the bike for sure.
He's lighter on the bike. Yeah. So to your point, like, yes, he just got to keep digging. Like, you know, one of these times, if he puts himself in the right position, you know, you got to think, if you're Chase, that he's going to have a faulty start here, you know, one of these times, and maybe he won't, but that's what you got to hope for right now, and get the pendulum to swing a little bit, get the confidence more on Chase's side right now. So, you know, and that just takes by, you know, like I said, if the pendulum swings, and Jet gets a bad start, puts himself around, say, 8th, 10th place, which could very well happen. Chase gets a whole shot, and now you see the pendulum has swung a little bit, and he runs it down. Even if Chase weren't to win, but he battles and he races and he gets to follow, and really stick close to him. I think the confidence is going to raise on Chase, and we might see a better Chase, after that.
Yeah. Like Chase got to be, to your point, is he's got to be there every single race. You got, if Jet gets a whole shot, dude, you can't be fourth the first lap. You got to be second as quick as possible, right? It's got to happen every single race, and that's going to be your best opportunity. And then maybe then when that happens, you know, maybe Jet's thinking, okay, now I have to send it a little bit more to build that gap earlier. If he's going to be second every single lap, kind of just puts a little bit more pressure. Like we're saying, as far as the riding, it's tough. It's tough. There's no two ways about it, dude.
I think he's doing his work. You know, like I said, he's doing what he needs to do at home. There's really, right now, Jet's just on another level. He's got to just keep doing what he's doing, and good things will come. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. It's just not.
Yeah. Now you know what it was like with everyone racing you. So there's no magic answers, dude. You know it better than anyone. I know it better than anybody. Hard work is, there's no substitute for hard work. And, you know, yes, you have to have a little bit of luck, and you know what? And there's nothing wrong with getting beat by a guy like Jet. You know, he's a phenomenal rider. I mean, look at like MC, look at you, me, Stu, Reedy. I mean, dude, we all were great riders, you know, like there's nothing, just because you got beat by these guys multiple times doesn't mean that you suck.
No, you got to keep pushing. I think, and like I said, it's going to happen. You know, I think it's just going to take this one time, one race where, you know, Chase builds some confidence because right now, let's face it, Jet's on a high, man. The wave he's riding is cool, calm, and collected, and he's getting perfect scores right now. So it's pretty hard to beat a guy like that or knock a guy off of the top of the totem pole, because everything's just going his way right now. And he's put in number one, he's putting himself there. He's putting himself in great positions to be able to be on top that step.
Yeah. So our watchers and listeners, trust me, I think we all want to see him maybe get a bad start one time and work up through the field. We love to see guys put to the test, right? Like I want to see him put to the test. If he's got to start last or start mid pack and Chase be up front, like, dude, I want to see that just as bad as you do.
Right? Yep. 100%.
So, all right. Chris_Soffer asks, how do you feel about Masterpool being up there and running with the 23, the 14, and the 7? I think it's awesome. I think he looks really comfortable on his motorcycle. He looked pretty good this weekend as well. Now he has done it consistently, so it's no fluke. He's riding.
Yeah, man.
Confidence. What do you think? That's what I think. What do you think?
No, I think, this was a big question. You see, why not? Why isn't Ty Masterpool on a factory ride? Why doesn't somebody give him a seat? All these things. Well, you know, you got to take into consideration a lot of guys can go out and we know Ty's fast. You know, he's rode for Star Racing at a couple other different really good teams through his journey so far. But this is like, to your point, like I brought this up on the deal. On our group text for the fans listening, you were like, well, what do you think for topics? And I'm like, well, I think Ty Masterpool has to be a topic. And the reason why I say he should be is three different track conditions. You know, we got Southwick this last weekend. We had High Point and Colorado and Redbud four, you know, so he's putting himself in that position every single weekend. Now, does it warrant a factory ride? I don't know if it warrants a factory ride. It doesn't warrant a fill-in ride. I think if there's a fill-in ride available, yes, it does warrant a fill-in ride. But here's the other thing. You go and put yourself and you pull him out of his where he's comfortable and you put him in a factory truck. His results may not be as good. And why I say that is because now it's not that the team's putting any more pressure on him. It's basically that he's putting all this pressure on himself to perform because now he's on a factory bike. I feel like, you know, in the scenario he's in right now, he's very, very comfortable scenario. He's got his people around him. And he's putting the Kawasaki up front battling with these factory rides. So I think for him, if he can keep doing what he's doing till the end of the season, build the confidence, And if he gets a ride at the end of the season, then I think he'll be in a better position mentally, you know, to be able to handle a factory ride. Not that he's faltered in the past. I've seen these, and you've seen these guys in the past, like that will, they crush it on a privateer kind of setting, you know, a privateer setting, and then they go to the go to the factory team.
And you have to perform when you have
to perform. Exactly. So I'm stoked for him. He's riding well. Yeah. He's putting it up there. He's giving it to these factory boys. You know, I think is big as much as we need to talk about Ty Masterpool, we kind of need to talk about the guys that are on factory teams that are not doing as well as they probably should be in racing with this privateer guy, you know, like,
yeah, I mean,
it doesn't look good when you got the semis and the trucks and the deal, and you got a guy running around, you know, whooping some ass on that thing, you know, on that privateer bike, you know, I know Raj is probably not so happy.
No, you know, Raj, for sure. Raj wouldn't be it. There is more pressure when it comes to being on a factory bike. Ty knows that. Their family's been in racing forever. Their mom and dad, his dad competed at an extremely high level as well in other disciplines. But another thing too, I feel like, and part of this RV is, you know, why doesn't he get a factory opportunity? Maybe for a fill-in, probably would have been manageable. But if you're a factory team manager, whatever it might be, Ty has got to perform in Supercross.
Much as I love outdoors, 80% of our racing is Supercross. What it is.
Jeremy Martin, I was having a conversation with someone about Jeremy Martin. Actually, I was having a conversation with a flagger this week, and I was watching practice early on. He's like, dude, what about like Jeremy Martin? And why did he stay down in the 250 class for so long? And I was hanging out with Jason Thomas, and we were talking with this guy. He's like, well, it wasn't like he had a million opportunities to ride 450. And I mean, you have to be able to win and run up front at the high level, at the elite level. And if you don't, it's just not a good look. So those are the things in my mind, you know, when you're going to go sign someone to a factory ride at the premier level, you have to put up results in Supercross. They're not going to hire you to not put up results in Supercross. That's the primary focus.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's just, it comes down the totem pole from
I hate the factories. To say it, but dude, and I love these guys. I have a tremendous amount of respect for a lot of these guys, RV, but yeah, that's where it's at, dude. Straight up.
I 100% agree. It is what it is. You have to be able to really perform in Supercross, because that is a big part of that. That's, like I said, it's an 80-20 split in kind of how I look at it. It's if you need to perform 80% of the time in Supercross and 20% outdoors, really. If you can perform 80% of your gate drops in Supercross inside the top 10 and really, like, you know, putting some good races on in Supercross, that's going to secure you really a ride for as long as you kind of are racing. In my opinion, if you're up running top fives in the 450 class, but you're maybe like an eighth and ninth place guy outdoors, you're going to have yourself a factory ride, because 100%. Based on TV time, you know, there's more money to make in Supercross, all the above for Supercross, because it's the highest platform, you know. Don't get me wrong, I love outdoors, but it's just where the manufacturers have taken it. It's not the riders. It's you know, Supercross, there's more emphasis on that.
I think to help Ty's case and to maybe get a shot. Remember, he's a bit on Star Yamaha, so to get a second shot, which is rare, especially in the 450 class, a lot of these guys are already locked in for next year. He's able to continue to do what he's doing, to your point, and that was great. A great read on, he's done great in all conditions at this juncture. If he can do well in the SMX playoffs, that will certainly help him, and will perk up the other teams, without a doubt.
100%. You know, and I think here's the other thing. It's not, you know, who's to say he's not going to go to, and look, I'm going to throw a wild card in here. You know, he's Supercross has always been kind of a question mark for him. But there's other forms of racing. I mean, what about going to Europe and racing over there? If he's truly an outdoor guy and really wants to stick to doing outdoors and not bother with Supercross, I don't know that. I haven't talked to him. Don't know if that's what they're, what, how they think, but let's say that's the way it is. There's other platforms, other places to go and race that are outdoor based only. Yep. And have a hell of a career and still be able to come back in and have your primary racing here in the United States and race outdoors, but go supplement from other places and do that. Like even Canada, you know, like,
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World? Like, hey, we came to play. Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
I learned so much, I can guarantee you that. Yeah, I can guarantee you going outside of the U.S., even to Canada, you know, he would lose learn a ton.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, dude, that's a lot for the Southwick recap. But to your point, like we were talking yesterday on the group text, there was just so much happening, so much to talk about. Quad lot question of the week. I'm sure everyone that watches Title 24 listens to RV and I. You guys know where we're going with this. But quad lot question of the week comes from Ryan and Dreesen 115. And they ask, what do you think about Cooper Webb leaving KTM? You want the first crack at it or you want?
I'll let you have the first crack at it.
Okay. I mean, listen, the beginning of the end was 2000 and beginning of 2022 when he didn't want to be at the Baker's factory anymore. You hear that a lot. You know, like some of, you know, what goes on over there, it doesn't gel for everyone. He was ready to do his own thing. It didn't go well. So basically they gave him an ultimatum from what I know, and I could be completely wrong. They're like, hey, you either go back to the Baker factory or you don't get a ride for 23. So he plays their game. He goes back to Baker factory. He did better straight up. Obviously, he was in title contention for the Supercross Championship. Ian Harrison said what he was only supposed to do Supercross only. Then he decided after he got hurt at Nashville a couple weeks later, he wanted to do Pro Motocross Championship. So with all that said, I think the beginning of the end was when he left to go to 2022. I don't think that KTM had any other real good choices to put anyone on for 23. That's why they gave him the ultimatum for this year, and he played the game. So does this come as a surprise to me? Absolutely not. I'm not going to sit here and tell you guys where he's going. It's pretty simple. If you use your brain, you can put the pieces together, right? So I don't know. I think it's a weird deal. I don't like the way that it was handled, not necessarily from Coop's side. I think from KTM's side. And I think it's a bummer for Coop, and this is why. Because he was in a great spot for SMX the championship playoffs. And now if he's even going to have an opportunity to race SMX championship on another manufacturer, you know, like he's going to be so far behind in points, he's basically going to have to win all the three rounds. Now the double points and the triple points is certainly going to help that. But I don't like it. I don't like the position that anyone was in on that deal. It sucks. It, yeah, it just, it's weird. It's weird. And I don't like how, like, we can't, what, we, no one can say where he's going. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I'm going to say he's going to Star Racing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's the big secret about that? That's what I can't stand about our sport. And I've been on that side, dude, where I had to keep this secret when I wasn't going to Honda or when I wasn't going to re-sign with Cowie. It sucks so bad. But dude, let's move on down the, like, let's just go. Let if you go into Star Yamaha, let Star take advantage of that. You know what I mean? Let him take advantage of it and get your money's worth. KTM, you've got your money's worth out of him. He performed for you guys. He did really, really well, like other sports.
Yep.
So if he can't say anything, like, and he's going there, is that because what, like, KTM doesn't want Yamaha to get a jump start on their marketing? That sucks. So, you know, Yamaha and the roles are reversed. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to play that game.
Yeah, no, I agree. I do. Somebody asked me about that this weekend, about the Coupe thing. And I said, you got to remember also too, there was a working with Eldon championships, not working with Eldon, then made to go back to work with Eldon, and things like that. And I do agree. That's where it started. You know, and I think that, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, I think it's just a different mentality. You explained a lot of really good things, but I'll explain a little more from the racer side of it. I'm just surprised that, and look, maybe it's because I'm way off topic or way wrong on this, but I'm 30, going to be 35 this year. And, you know, you don't think your career goes by fast. And everybody used to always tell me, you know, Rick Johnson, Jeff, you know, Stanton, you know, a lot of older guys say, oh, you fucking blink, man, it's going to go by and it'll be over. And, and you know, you're stuck inside that toilet bowl of our industry. And you feel like it's not going by very fast. You know, days are long and tough, but man, now being retired, you're like, dude, I only raced for 10 years. I've already been retired for almost, it'll be 8 or 9 coming up, you know, for me. And, I look at it from a revenue standpoint, man, I have to, I'm going to bring up this side of it is like, man, I feel like he's leaving a lot on the table. And maybe it's what he has to do mentally and physically to keep going. But I also see, like, he's got a deal, he's signed up. If you're going to go racing to the fullest. Just don't pop in and pop out. You know, I'm sure, look, here's what I was just going to say, here is politics. We, as none of us, not me, not you, nobody knows what are the politics involved in this. So maybe they aren't letting him go. Maybe it was a nasty divorce, a breakup. You know, we don't know what the scenario is, because from KTM standpoint, we see their press release. From Coupe standpoint, we see thanks for the last 5 years and the X amount of championships and the race wins and boom, and that's it. And everybody else is in the dark. We're all in the dark after that point. So, but also too, Ricky, our job is to stir the pot a little bit, to speculate, to see.
Well, I can tell you this much, Jeremy, you're exactly right. But again, we don't know the meat and the exact details, and we're going speculation here. We're going opinion based, and I hate opinion based on stuff like this. I'd rather be fact based here on Title 4, but just trying to read between the lines. If he can't race, then obviously I'm assuming he would want to race. I feel like he's a competitor. Maybe he's forced to take the time off. Maybe KTM's like, nope, you can't. We're going to do this. We're going to sever our ties. But if you want to do this, you're not allowed to race, and we're going to hold you to it until whenever.
No, that could be very well. I got to talk to some people this weekend, and pretty close to that scenario there. And it seemed like, from what he was telling me, and I feel like I have a pretty good relationship with the individual, it seemed like it was actually okay. Like, they were okay with it, and vice versa, he was okay with it. It was time to, it was a nice departing. Like, it wasn't this nasty divorce scenario. It seemed like it was a kind of a mutual agreement, put it that way, is what I was kind of told.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, well, that makes me happy then. Well, I mean, makes a little better for me. Like, I'm not as bummed. That's good. Could you imagine though? Just imagine this, dude. If he lines up for SMX playoffs and he goes and wins the damn thing on a different manufacturer.
So, I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. So the odds of that happening, I don't know. But here's the other thing I think, Ricky, that guys always forget too is, and look, I don't have, I guess I can't really speak on it very well, but I do know that he's going to have to deal with a different set of problems over at Star. Different style of politics or different bike issues. If he was complaining about the forks on the KTM or the front end on the KTM, the Yamaha is going to do something completely different that he's not going to like. Maybe it's the rear end of the motorcycle.
Maybe it's the power.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the story of the grass is greener, always greener on the other side is a lot of times isn't true. I mean, you're probably a perfect example. I'm sure you can talk to, man, this is, you know, when you left Cowie, you went to Honda, you know,
they all were different, dude.
They were all were different. They all did things differently, better in different scenarios and vice versa. I mean, you can speak to that.
Dude, when I left Cowie and I went to Honda, there were a lot of things that I liked about Honda, but there were times in 02 when I was racing RV where I'm like, dude, I wish I was on my Cowie right now because it would be epic right here. Right? And then when I was at Honda and I went to Suzuki, they're fully committed. They're going to support me. The money was right. The race support was going to be absolutely awesome. They're rolling the red carpet out for me and we're going to have everything at our disposal. And they did, they were completely prepared. But then there were times where like, damn, dude, I wish I was on that 2004 CRF 450. It would be so good. So absolutely. The grass is never greener. I think where Coop is at, and this is how I would be RV, is where he's at in his career. He's longer in the tooth. I would, and I feel like Coop probably knows that the grass isn't always greener as far as the bike goes. I would be doing a deal more based on the team personnel. And if I got along with the team and I liked the team, because that's like, to me, that's what would be more important at this stage of my career rather than the bike as much.
I 100% agree. That's where I was starting to drum up something in my head about that. It's going to come down to less of a corporate. It's a private team backed by a factory, right? It's like a pro circuit a Kawasaki instead of factory Cowie, right? So for the politics and as how they run their team, definitely probably not as corporate. It's just not as corporate. It's a privately owned motorcycle team. So to your point of, yes, picking your last stint, if it's 2 or 3 years, whatever that contract is that he has signed, it's picking where are you going to be, I think, the happiest, number one, and a very, very close race for second would be, can I win on the machine also, in which it's been proven on. Star Racing is one literally the last been winning for the last almost 10 years here, 250 and now the 450 class. So we know he's got a good platform. And hopefully this is what he needs, less politics, less corporate, and just a little more fun environment.
Yeah, I agree 100%. If this is his final deal, boom, he's going to be able to enjoy himself. And this is where the quality of his life and his career will be much better. They have a great history together. You know, they backed him early on. He's won championships for them. There's a bond there.
And like, I can guarantee you that, like, if I could go back and do anything different with my career, I would have loved to leave. I left on top, which is awesome. Something that I wanted to do, which is awesome, but I would have loved to leave on top, but also without, I'll say it, I had a little bit of a bitter taste, you know, at the end of it. I was just burnt out. I was over it. You know, there was some politics involved. And that's a huge bummer, right? That's a huge bummer to leave your industry or your racing career with a bitter taste in your mouth. And, you know, essentially we're from 15 to 27, yeah, where you have developed and built all these friendships and won all these races and championships and made a name for yourself. And now in the Hall of Fame, you left that, you know, that last season, the last time you were ever out there with a little bit of a bitter taste. Now the bitter taste is gone. I've been retired for a while and love being back at the races and hanging out with everybody, but I would have loved to leave then without that taste.
Right. Totally. Well, we can't turn back the clock. You're right. So, hey, Ryan and Driesen 115. That is exactly why you won the quad lock case of the week. It was a great question. It was something that we all could elaborate on. RV telling his side and telling some of his personal sides as well as mine. And so thank you very much for being a loyal listener and follower. And we appreciate you. Slide into our DM. We'll get you lined up with quad lock and get you all sorted out for your stuff. I think you'll be totally pumped on it. I'm getting ready for my adventure ride. Starts August 1st, I believe we ride. Ray Butts from United Motorsports is coming. You need to check out United Motorsports, by the way, unitedmotorsports.com. He's going to be joining us. They got everything you could ever need. I got a promo code. It's Title24, and it's site-wide for 10% off. So make sure you use that. You can use that at Quadlock at United Motorsports and Boxo as well. Boxo USA, great partner of ours. We are, they got an awesome, like a tool bag that we put on our adventure toolkit that we put on the back of our motorcycles that has everything that you need for, you know, if you have like a flat or just little gadgets and tools that you'll need. I'm going to send you one, RV. So you'll be ready to go next time.
Right.
You go on the adventure ride. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to fly into Grand Junction. We're going to Bryce Canyon, Zion. We're going to end up in Vegas. Probably have some beverages when we get to Vegas because I'll be smoked. We're going to the Grand Canyon as well. And so I'm looking forward to that. But we got the great partners to make that happen. So we appreciate you guys. Remember, don't forget about that promo code Title24 for 10% off. I know everyone wants to save a little bit of money. Millville. I love Millville. Do you like Millville?
I do like Millville. I think it's going to be, what do we have here? It's the Spring Creek. It's going to be 82 with a high of 53 humidity. So, man, if that temperature rises a little
going?
Bit more,
are you going, dude?
I'm not going. No, I'm not going. So, if that 82 gets up into the high 80s and we have 53% humidity, that's going to be another scorcher. You know, thunder showers, this is another one that tends to, you know, we tend to have, it's kind of like a 50-50 chance of rain. It seems like every year when we go to Millville, when it doesn't, Millville is always an awesome track to go to and watch. Now with the new, what's that monster, that massive hill they have, I forget the name of it. We didn't have that hill.
Mount Martin? Is it Mount Martin?
That's what it is. Mount Martin. Yeah. So we didn't get to race that. So that's really good for TV, for the fans to check out. Really good. Just a good track. So I think the weather's going to potentially play a factor. But if not, I think you see, you know, Tom. I think Tom's going to be, Tom's going to be good there. Yes, I do.
Yeah. I think it's going to be awesome. Well, here's one reason. I feel like Millville RV is very similar to Red Bud. It has a lot of elements that all motocross tracks have. It's got some fun jumps. It's got way more elevation than Red Bud, but it's got some great rut corners. It's got sand rollers, some pretty cool jumps, not as jumpy as Red Bud. But I've always loved Millville. Just because it's very similar to my old place, the Goat Farm. So I love it. I think it's a great racetrack. We had some questions from our fans about talking about MXON this year and who should we send and who would be our picks. And I feel like it's an Arne this year. You've been Arne.
I have never rode there, but wait, went
you
there.
Haven't?
No, I never rode.
Oh, dude, it's an epic track. It is so, dude, it's so rad. So it's very similar to... It's very similar to Millville this weekend. So I would like to see, I think whoever does well in Millville, we should strongly consider those as our candidates for the MXON. That's why, because the tracks are very similar. So,
I mean, honestly, I think we got to figure out our, obviously I think you got to probably send Chase, right? I mean, like you said, but I think our lights class is already picked. And I think in my opinion, so. Is
it? Yeah.
I think so.
All right. Well,
so we'll have to dissect that next week after.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm looking forward to. It's going to be a great racetrack. Be fun to see if Tom can back up his, no doubt if Tom can back up that great performance, it'll be fun. Hey, this is another opportunity for these guys to try to take down Jet. Anything can happen.
Ricky, you know what? That was interesting. Just to talk Tom one more time is, man, it was a scorcher at Southwick and the heat didn't get to him. A lot of the Europeans, you know, it takes them a little bit to get acclimated to the heat, and man, both motos, he was up there. So that was interesting to see. Definitely helped.
Well, Baker Factory got him tip top shape, dude. You know that.
That's right. Must be that Florida weather.
That's right. No, hey, there's no.
I know.
Hard work. You know, Eldon's has him out there just banging out the motos, bro.
That's right.
No doubt. No doubt about that. All right, big motor, big week on motorsports. NBC here. Always make sure you start with SMX Insider with Weege and JT. That comes out Thursday at 2 p.m. on YouTube. Let's see here. We got NASCAR Xfinity in New Hampshire. That's 2:30 on USA. The NTT IndyCar Series, Streets of Toronto. That's on Peacock. That's Sunday, 1:30 p.m. I can't wait for that. 2 p.m. On Sunday, World Superbike, the Italian Round. That's on CNBC. And, of course, the NASCAR Cup Series, New Hampshire. I love that track, by the way. So I'll be going back and forth between that and the IndyCar. And then, of course, the Pro Motocross is at Spring Creek. Race Day Live starts at 11 a.m. on Peacock, 2 p.m. Eastern on NBC. So make sure you check that out. Very similar as to Southwick. So I cannot wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure you guys tune in. And it's going to be going off. You can always watch stuff on Peacock as well. So that's going to do it. That was a long one, RV. Hopefully everyone enjoys this. A lot of insight, a lot of meat. Like I said, this was a good one.
No, it was. Yeah, I think it's the longest one so far, hour three. So hopefully the fans are digging it. Oh, yeah, I think,
it was good. It was
definitely a good one, and love to get on every Monday.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Well, I'm gonna miss you. Everyone, thank you so much for all the support. Dude, we had a lot of questions this week, a ton, some great ones. Sorry we couldn't get to all of them, but there was just so much content that we wanted to share with you guys, and it was good. So sorry we didn't get to it, but we will on a lighter weekend when there's not as much drama to talk about, we'll knock them out. But thanks for all the questions. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. Make sure you subscribe, like, and then of course you can always watch it on Peacock. It's on demand. Motorsports on NBC's YouTube page. We're also there, and we're going to do it again next Monday. Going to be hard to believe if we have more content, as much content next week as we had this week.
Let's hope.
Yeah,
all we can do is hope.
That's right. Well, everyone have a good week. RV, you have a good week. All right, thank you guys.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.